Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Tuesday's teaching is on the topic of gratitude and thankfulness, with a specific focus in relation to fathers, whether they be biological or spiritual. Bishop Dag will teach you why it is important to maintain an attitude of gratitude and why you must be determined to never be associated with ungratefulness. Today's message will give you wisdom to overcome the common mistake of repaying good and saying thank you with evil. So listen attentively and enjoy the word.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the great opportunity that we have today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Right. My subject is, how can I say thanks? Judges. Today we are going to do just a bit of Bible reading. That's all. So I just hope that you can survive the reading. And then after that, you can make your own comments. And then we are gone. All right? The Bible says, give attendance to reading. Judges chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal is a name for Gideon, who is Gideon. And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now, many times when God does certain things, we feel that our own hands have saved the day. So sometimes he does it in such a way that you can realize that it's not your hand, but it is his hand. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And Gideon, the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many, and take them to the water, and I will try them for thee, and this shall go with thee. All right? So he brought the people to the water, and the Lord said, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. And likewise, everyone that boweth down on his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Okay? So 10 out of 22,000 were left. 10 out of 22,000, 68% of the people have fear. So it's a large percentage of us are greatly affected by fear. All right? That's the percentage that is affected by fear. So the Lord said, took victuals, and it came to pass that night, he said, go down. And Gideon came down, and the story goes on how Gideon overcame. Now, chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus? Thou callest us not when you went to fight with the Midianites. And they did chide with him sharply. And he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Okay, God has delivered into your hand the princes, and what I was able to do in comparison of you. Then their anger was abated, because he told them that you guys are really the great guys. Okay. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said to the men of Succoth, I pray you loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thine army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of this wilderness with the briars. And he went up to Penuel and spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. And now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them about 15,000 men. All right? And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents of the east, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up. And he called a young man of the men of Succoth and inquired him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom you did insult me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto your men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. He taught them with the thorns. All right? And then he said to Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they said, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Amen. Amen. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, besides the chains that were about their camels' necks. Now, Gideon made an effort thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither a warring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued. So that was a mistake that Gideon made. He made this idol before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness for 40 years in the days of Gideon. Now, Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. Now, like I once said, most of the heroes which we follow had many wives. Yes. Heroes of faith that we admire. If you want to accept, yes, that's just Gideon. All right? It's good to read the Bible. Now, Jerubbaal had many wives. Now, his concubine, that was in a city called Shechem. She also bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. All right. Now, Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-warring after Baalim and made Baal-berith their god. You see, sometimes you are behaving well because the leader is there. But if he's not there, you go right back to a certain bad behavior. So that's why sometimes you need to be transferred. And when you are all alone, we see your real capabilities. Yes, when you stand alone, you see your real capabilities. That's why, to me, really, the missionaries are the greatest heroes of this whole church. Because, and especially people who are in countries that are not their own countries, like they didn't grow up there. I mean, it's one of the most difficult jobs, you know, to be a missionary. And it really isolates you and lets you become who you can become. And we see a lot of things. So we must really honor our missionaries, treat them well, and honor them. It's different from being a pastor in your own country or being sent to a part of your own country and doing something. I mean, I have people that have gone to nations, learned languages, cultures. You see, you never know a country, even when you go there initially. You don't know what is happening. Yes. Because a visitor has eyes, but he cannot see. It's a proverb that was given us when we first had our crusade, in the first crusade we had in Nigeria. The chairman, bless his heart, Pastor Dr. Salami, he sat us down. You know, he's gone to be with the Lord now, but he sat us down and he told us, listen, I want you to know something. There are things we know here. And he told us that you are a visitor. And visitors have eyes, but they cannot see what's happening on the ground. It's a deep saying. And it's true. If you come to Ghana, you would say everybody is a Ghanaian. But if you stay in Ghana for some time, you discover that there are different groupings within the nation. Yes. You find different groupings and different sentiments in the different groupings. And you wouldn't know which sentiment is real or true. If, for instance, you marry into one grouping, you will hear good things about that group because you are married there. And if you are married in another group, you will hear bad things about the other group because you don't belong to that group. You get what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, what you do. It's a reality. So it takes years to even know the truth, because depending on who you are married to or who you are close to when you come into the system, you get one side of what there is. And there are other opinions. Your viewpoint depends on your point of view. Yes. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel went after Baalim. All right. Now, verse 34. My subject is how can I say thanks, but I'm just reading this story. Now, the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Verse 35. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. So after Gideon had shown them a lot of goodness and kindness, they didn't show him the necessary goodness. All right? Judges chapter 9. Today I told you it's really, when I get to the end, then we are done. And this is the last. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem. Now remember, Jerubbaal is the same as Gideon. Then he happened to go out and gave birth in Shechem. He had one child in Shechem. That Shechem was not where the Israelites were. Okay. So the child he had there, he called the child Abimelech. All right. Now, when Abimelech grew up, Abimelech went to Shechem to his mother's brethren, you know, because he was from a different place. And he communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, "Speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, and ask them whether it is better that either all the sons of Jerubbaal, the 70 children, which are 70 persons, should reign over you, or one person should reign over you. And remember also that I am your bone and your flesh." Change the version. "Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all the 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or just one man, and I am your flesh and blood." Back to the King James. "And his mother's brethren speak of him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, 'He is our brother.'" Now, again, you see, the groupings that exist. You didn't notice they exist till you are there for some time and you see that the groupings are real. Yes. And that once your brother, of some type of a brother, is in an area, you vote for the person. So what you do? And you see that no matter the campaigning that is done, and no matter the stories that people bring out, and no matter the scandals and the discussions and whatever, the voting is the same, virtually the same. "He is our brother." Now they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-Berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. Now, you must try not to be a vain or light person. Paul said, "When I decided to come to you, did I use lightness?" You know, lightness. Paul spoke about, did I use lightness? Now, the word lightness speaks of being serious. Was I very serious about what I was doing when I decided to come to you? So when you are taking decisions in the ministry or when you are serving the Lord, you must not use lightness. Okay. All right? So he said, "When I was thus minded, did I use lightness?" So when you check the word lightness, it talks about earnestness and seriousness. Like, is it well thought through? You see? Because when you don't think things through, when troubles come, difficulties come, problems come, all your words and the things you say, it just passes out of the bush. It's lightness. Okay? Now, it's light people that are used for certain things. So they got to him vain and light people who don't think deeply about the things they are doing or saying. Those are the type of people that can do what is about to happen. All right? Are you there? Now, and he went to his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. All right? He killed all his 70 brothers. Do you see? That he had, who were the sons of Gideon. Gideon is Jerubbaal. The sons of Gideon. All were killed on one stone. Yes. And he used vain and light persons to do this. All right. I'm talking about how can I say thanks. This is a topic. And it's about reading. Because you see, you don't know the story. So I'm reading it to you. Yeah. Yeah. Yet, Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. Now, in every Chinese film, you see that one person is left, isn't it? Then he grows up, and later he comes back as the blue man, and so on. And this is the Bible. The Bible is more than a Chinese film. Now, and all the men of Shechem gathered themselves together, and all the house of Milo, not the Milo we have in Ghana, this is a different Milo, and they went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. All right? And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood in the top of the Mount Gerizim, and lifted up his voice and cried, "Hearken unto me, you men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." Now, listen. The little boy who was left, right, when he heard that this man, Abimelech, has been made king, right, he had nothing left to do but to speak some words which would fight for him. All right? And you will see when we get to the end, the Bible describes something as the curse of Jotham. Yes. What he's going to say, there's no word curse is there. But at the end, he says the curse of Jotham. So there are curses that are said, even there are stories or parables. They are not called the curse of this, or I curse you, or whatever. But it's a curse. Yes. You can see Judges 9:57 at the end there. It says, "And came upon them the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal." All right? Now, back to verse 8. Now, this is the words of Jotham. This is the curse. He said, "The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us." The trees went to get a king. And they said, "Be our king." But the olive tree said unto them, "Should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go and be promoted over the trees?" And the tree said to the fig tree, "Come thou and reign over us." But the fig tree said unto them, "Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees?" Then the tree said to the vine, "Come thou and reign over us." And the vine said, "Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, to be promoted over the trees?" Then said all the trees unto the bramble, that is the thorny tree, bush. Okay? "Come thou and reign over us." And the bramble said unto the trees, "If in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Do you understand the parable? There was an olive tree, a fig tree, and vine. They were all requested to become, to maybe made kings. all of them said, we are busy. We have things that we do. We cheer up God. We are used to anoint people. We are used for so many things. Then they went to the bramble, thorns, and said, let this thorn be our king. And the bramble also said, okay, either way, if you don't anoint me or you don't anoint me, let fire come out from me and devour. So the thing you are going to put over you is going to produce a fire. Yes, so it's a decision. And this is where you have your decisions and your choices. You choose a bramble, or you choose a vine, or you choose an olive tree, or you choose a fig tree to be over. And that thing becomes a thorn and a fire for you based on your choices, your decisions, and your judgments. Are you there? Yes. Now, therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you have made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands. According to the what? Deserving. You have given him what he deserves. Do you see? Then notice verse 17, because 17 is where he makes a very important point. He says, for my father fought for you and adventured his life far. Like he went to extremes. Do you see? And adventured his life far. And delivered you out of the hand of the Midian. You know? Like, he's trying to say what Gideon did for them. As you are killing his 70 sons. He says, yes. That's the reward you are giving him. He says, my father fought for you. And that is also one of the things you will not know, the battles somebody fights for you. Yes. And then adventured his life. Like he took certain risks. He took certain risks and stretched himself to a point where he was in danger for you. And saved you out of the hand of Midian. You know, especially when it comes to a father. You see, you never know what he did for you. Yes. You never know what a father does for you. Yes. So, you need to be careful when you are handling or relating with fathers of any kind. Because what he has fought, you will never know. And the risks the person has taken, and the adventures and ventures the person has taken, and delivering you out of the hand of the media, you never know. And that is why when Ham mocked his father for drinking and looked at his father with an eye of a scoffer, it was immediately a curse. Oh, yes. Because you don't know what he's doing to make you survive in the waters where everybody is going down and everybody is being wiped out. And you are surviving because of what the person is doing for you. And you see, these are not so common teachings. Because, I don't know, even if you look at Michael Jackson, for instance, I mean, he said so many things about his father, and even it was almost like he suffered, you know, father forced him to train to do this, didn't have a childhood, so many things about his father. He said, you know, and if his father hadn't made him practice, and made him do whatever, would he be Michael Jackson? And all his brothers had the same treatment. Do you see? But you don't hear that from them. They are all there. They are all alive. Yeah. You know? Yes. So, yes, and he was the youngest. So, you don't say, my father, he says, my father fought for you, you know, and then adventured his life far, you know, and then delivered you out of the hand of the Midian, you know. So, when you are getting high fever and becoming some way, you know, it's one of the, now the fact that his father fought for him and adventured his life far, it's not because his father was perfect. Because he saw that he got the golden earrings and he made a little idol. Yes. So it's like, and the Bible says all of Israel went a-whoring after that thing. You see? So he wasn't perfect. And no father is perfect. Then, you see, in the case of Ham, Noah was drinking. I mean, I don't know what the issue was. And you see, in the case of Gideon, like, I mean, he had so many wives. Those who think that it is wrong would say that it's quite a lot of wives. I mean, after Solomon, it means Gideon is the next person that we must. Yeah. Yeah. Records of children. And this must be the highest number of children. Because I think Solomon's wives, I don't think they all had children. But some of them, he didn't have enough time to go around. Yeah. Do you see? So, please take note. You know, these things that we teach, you need to not think of them today. You know, but sometimes when I see people behaving in a certain way, I just ask myself, but do you not remember anything at all that you learned? Do not even believe it for your own self. Do you see? What you are doing, does it not even occur to you that the same Bible which controls all of us, in the name of this same word which we are all studying, you get it? It's written there. But anyway, verse 18, it says, and you are risen against my father's house this day. And have slain his sons. 70 persons upon one stone. And have made Abimelech, the son of his maid servant, king over the men of Shechem. Because he is your brother. Are you understanding? Verse 19. Now, if you have then dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. Verse 20. But if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. Destroying who? Each other. Okay? And Jotham ran away. He did what? Because his power was not in the physicals. His power was in his words. He could not fight with them. You know, I watched a film once. I think I told you about it. But I'll tell you again. Yes. And in this film, the man who was the neighbor, the man who was in prison, his son was kidnapped. And he wanted someone to go and rescue the son from the other country, neighboring country. And the man was giving excuses. And people who don't want to do things often have a lot of reasons. And if you are not clever, you never see through, especially if they are technical. And liars use a lot of technical reasons to cover themselves. So when the man started to hear the reasons, he stood in the prison and he bent out his hands like this. He said, "Do you think I cannot hurt you from here, from behind the bars? You think I cannot hurt you from here?" And he bent his hand. And the man said, "I beg. I beg." The free man, the man who was free, yeah, the man who was free, started to beg. He said, "Oh, what are you saying?" You see? So there are different types of powers you can call upon, depending on what it is. And this Jotham, his power that he was calling on was not fighting. So he ran. In verse 21, he ran because he was not using that kind of power. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Unarata. Whenever you see the word treachery, it's talked about rata. That is, treachery has to do with trust. It's not lies. It's trust. Lying is going along that line, but treachery is like, "I trusted you," or "I trust you." Do you see? And the other day I was watching a film, and the person was working for the president, and he said, "Please make sure that this story doesn't get published." So the lady said, "Trust me, I'll sort it out." So to his surprise, the story came. So he called the lady, said, "You said you will not." She said, "Oh, I didn't do whatever." So he said, "Oh, there was somebody else who did it." So he called that guy and said, "How can you do this? Why do you do that?" And he said, he thought that somebody else, the boss, gave to the boy the story. And the boy said, "No, it's that woman. Now, the woman who you said, she's the one who told me to do it. She told me to send the story." So he went back to the lady, and he was going to beloved the lady, but she asked him, "Are we still friends?" He said, "I trusted you, but you took advantage of it." Those were his words. "You took advantage. I trusted you and you took advantage of my trust." So when somebody trusts you, the person is vulnerable. It's like you can do something bad to the person. So I'm just trying to, because we don't really understand these words, treacherously, it's like a big word. It's not so big. Now, the men of dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Now, that the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come and their blood be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, which slew them upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. You know, when you hear people being beheaded, recently we had some people being beheaded. This is what they did too. They beheaded. You know, recently somebody said his head was cut off and so on. It's like this one, 70 of one family. The Bible talks of the cruelty. All right? And the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And they went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and strode the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech? Who is Abimelech? And who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal? And Zebul, his officer, serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? Who is? So when you see people asking those questions, who is? Who are you? Wow. And would to God these people were under my hand, then I would remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. In other words, expand your army. We are going to fight with you. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. Now, I'm sure you are getting lost with some of the names. It's just like a film. Sometimes you're watching, they'll say Tom, and they'll say Thomas, and this, and you can't remember who is who. It's just like this one in the Bible, all right? And he sent messengers unto Abimelech privily, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren, be come to Shechem, and behold, they fortify the city against thee. Now, therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait. Verse 33, and it shall be in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise, okay, and thou shalt do to them as thou find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, the people with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out, and Abimelech rose, all right, and Gaal saw the people, and he said to Zebul, behold, there come people from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And Gaal spake again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another come along the plain of Meunim. And Zebul said, where is now thy mouth? Whither thou sayest, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Where is now your mouth when you were saying, who is he that we should serve him? Mercy. Is not the people? Is this not the people you despise? Go out, I pray, and fight with them. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. Now, it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait. So you see, fighting, a lot of fighting now, isn't it? And they laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city. And he rose up again and smote them. So Abimelech was killing them, isn't it? And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate. And the two other companies ran up all the people that were in the fields and slew them. Is it not amazing? And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. Wow. Now, when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Berith. Then it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech got up to the Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him, just now fighting. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, what you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold and set the hold on fire, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women, who are the people who helped Shechem to kill his brother, who helped Abimelech to kill all his 70 brothers. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and got them up to the top of the tower. Now, Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Now, a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. So there was a woman at the top of the tower who threw a big stone to break Abimelech's head. Okay? As he was trying to break down the tower to kill them. All right? Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. There are some people who, when they die, there's peace. Yeah. Verse 56. And God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. All right? This is a Bible movie. All right? So, that's the end of my message. What I'm trying to let you see is that when you see the full picture of the beginning of history and then the end, how it all ends, do you see? At different times, it seems evil has won. Even as we were reading, you were all hoping to hear that Abimelech was dead, but he was rather winning all the wars. Is it not true? Yes. So there are some episodes like that, isn't it? When you are watching season 1 and season 2. You see that the episodes are going on. It's like, would they not kill the bad person? But he keeps on escaping. Because when Abimelech became the king, he was having peace for 3 years. 3 good years. Everything was okay. Then the Lord sent an evil spirit between them. So when you have the privilege of living through and you see the beginning and the end, then you start to see the full cycle of all these things. And you see that all the men of Shechem were destroyed. They were fought with fire, killing thousands of them and so on. 1,000 people in those days is not a small number. And then he himself, looking like the winner, you know, and yet a stone. I can't even imagine the stone that fell on his head. May a stone fall on all the enemies of the Lord's heads in the name of Jesus and crack their skulls. Yeah. So I just want you to know that gratefulness is important. You know, how can I say thanks? Let us all look into our lives and see people that have, you know, like that scripture we read, it says, my father ventured. Do you see? Ventured his life far. My father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. You know, this is the story of Gideon. I'm sure you are all surprised at the end of the story of Gideon. You see, this is the famous Gideon that we all read of. So Gideon and his 730,000 men, and this is his end. This was how it ended. And he had 70 sons. And they could not remember anything. The reward that Gideon had for delivering Israel was for all his children to be slaughtered like goats on one stone. It's very, very some way, you know. So may we be people who are full of good memory, you know, and not people who don't remember. Let your memory be active. Proverbs 17 and verse 13 says, he who returns evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. It's not a good thing to reward evil for good. And again, that reward is not based on the perfection of the person. It's not based on perfection. It's based on, and your duty is not to judge people. Even when you are the senior, you know, when you are in a position of authority, it's not your duty to judge. In fact, the Bible says, don't judge. You know, judge not. Because you often don't know everything, even when you are judging. You see? So, your duty is to not judge Gideon for his 70 children, his many wives, his idol that he had, and whatever else mistake you think he had, he made. But to be grateful for the good that he did. All these people were cursed, and it was a child who cursed them. He said that, let fire come from the bramble and consume him. Let fire come from him and consume. You know, and truly, that is it. And you see that in the story of Lucifer, you see that he said, I will let a fire come from within you. And usually, these people self-destruct. So you'll never be associated with ungratefulness. Amen. You'll never be associated with ungratefulness. Amen. And I tell you, when you have fathers and founders and biological fathers, different types of fathers, you must be always handled with care. This is not a self-protective sermon to say something to protect me in my position. No. It's rather to protect you. Where do you stand if you start violating these rules? What is your future? Because when he said, my father adventured his life and my father fought for you, will you ever see the fight that your father... When you grow up, you never know that your father has fought any battles. You never have any idea what battles he has fought for you to exist, what he has done, and what risk he has taken to adventure his life for you. You will never know. And he may never tell you. You know? Do you think you know your mother's secrets? Or your father's secrets? You may never know. People die with their secrets and go out of the world. They never tell anybody their secrets. They just live and die. You know? So, let there not be the spirit of ungratefulness and short memories. You know? Don't think that somebody is trying to protect his position or power. No. Think of yourself. You now look at it and see. When you read the story, you ask yourself that, hey, so Gideon, I mean the famous Gideon. So many people are named Gideon. Don't you know anybody called Gideon? Do you know anybody called Gideon? If you know somebody called Gideon, raise your hand if you know somebody called Gideon. Everybody here knows somebody called Gideon. Gideon's Bible. We have Gideon's Bible. But was he perfect? No. Did he probably do some wrong things? Probably. But he died in peace. But how did people treat him? Because one of the most basic things is to show kindness even to people's children. Yes, it's one of the basic rewards you can give. So, oh, you are this person's child. And even my children, I have met a number of people that have showed my children kindness at different times. I said, oh, your dad is, they don't really know the child. Even weddings, you know, when you are getting married, you think you are getting married, so you are having a wedding. But later you find out that it was your parents who are marrying. I mean, they are the ones celebrating. Yes, that's true. You find out. Yeah, yes. And it's like people come to the wedding for the parents. It's like, oh, your child, oh, I'll be there. Not that they know your child. They don't even need to know the child. When they go, oh, use your child. Oh, okay. I thought he was taller. And that's all. Yeah. Psalm 109 and verse 5. It says, in return for my love. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. Yes. What version is that? But I am in prayer. Yes. Thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. American. In return for my love. That's how some people know how to love. The return for the love is to accuse. Put the verse back there. In return for my love, they act as my accusers. That's the response to love. But I am in prayer. Thus, yes, thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. When somebody accuses you in return for love, turns around to accuse you, he has fulfilled the scripture. And that's why the psalmist said, but I am in prayer. 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 And thus they have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Yes. That's really something. That's really something. Is that not so? Yes. 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 22. I told you today is just Bible reading. Yes. Thus, Joash the king. All right. Let's look at the American. I think the American. And I think verse 21 maybe. From verse 21. So they conspired against him. Again, conspiracies, meetings of people you trust. At the command of the king, they stoned him to death in the court of the house of the Lord. A lot of things have happened in the world, I tell you. Verse 22 says, thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada, his father, had done unto him, all right? But he murdered his son, all right? And as he died, do you see? And as he died, he said, may the Lord see and avenge. Karaba katababa. Yes. May the Lord see and avenge. The King James says, the Lord look upon it and require it. And what? Require it. Yes. So, let it be, amen, that your activity, all right, will always be one of gratitude. And ask yourself and tell yourself that this principle will never be old-fashioned. You see, you never get to the point, so put it aside. But it's also whatever. No. But he slew his son. And when he died, or the American says, as he died. Because sometimes people die with a few minutes to say something. And as he died, he said, these are the last words. Yes. May the Lord see and avenge. Mercy. Few words. Are you listening to me? Yes. So just remember that You know, all through the Bible, repaying good with evil is never outdated or old-fashioned. Amen.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Yes. Put your iPad away, please. Please, it's disturbing. I don't want to speak to people who are on screens. Please. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" Which of them? I think that saying thank you with evil is a common human practice. Yes. Yes. It's a common what? Human practice. Yes. Saying thank you with evil. Yes. Saying thank you with evil. Seriously. Not neutrality. Not neutrality. Yes. Saying thank you by being evil and wicked is a common thing. My Father fought for you and adventured his life far. Yes. And delivered you out of the hand of Midian. That was the end of him. Amen.
Amen.
So remember, as we come to the end, amen.
Amen.
Psalm 35 and verse 12. It says, "They repay me evil for good. And to the bereavement of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth, and I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer kept returning to my bosom, and I went about as though it were my friend or brother. I bowed down mourning as one who sorrows for a mother. They repay me evil for good." What do you think? Is it some way? Very some way. So may your life always be a life whose actions reflect gratefulness.
Amen.
Gratefulness.
Amen.
Gratefulness.
Amen.
Gratefulness.
Amen.
That's all.
Yes.
Never accept to descend into the negativity that comes from a wicked and ungrateful person. Yes. Never accept it, no matter the reason that can ever come up. Yes. I'm giving you that advice. And I say, if you live 30 years, 30 years, you will see the full cycle of many of these things. Those who saw the stone falling on Abimelech, come. I'm sure there were nurses were running stretchers, and people were saying, "The woman is wicked." But you see, you were not there when he was doing all those bad. So you see, when the judgment day comes, you start feeling sorry for the person. But if you could see a film of Abimelech putting son after son of his brothers down, next one, and the children screaming and they cut their head like goats. Ow! 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 Brother, brother Abi, brother Abi! Ow! Ow! After the other, terrified, and they were holding each of them. They come, next one, cut off, and that's the thank you for me fighting for you for years. You know, you've got to be careful. Anyone who has fought for you, I can tell you, you will not know that he's fought for you. Yes. I've had that experience more than once, where people have told me, you know, this person, you really fought for him. I've never seen you defending somebody more than this person. Yes. I've never seen you fighting for somebody more than this person that you fight for. And yet, you see the person rise up with the curses of Abimelech to come to assail and to attack the one that has adventured his life and risked for you. Wow. That was a reward. 25 of them down, bodies lying there. And you see sometimes when the head is cut off, the body still moves because of the nerves and it's still convulsing. 25 gone and 45 lying up there. And the children are begging. Yes. You not stop. You know, there was a time that we had some cows. And we decided to slaughter one of them. I don't know the people who came to do it. They did it and the others saw it. And from that day, the cows became quiet. Is it that even the cows were disturbed? They were emotionally disturbed. You are not supposed to do that. You shouldn't kill it in front of the. Yeah. It was an emotional shock. Yes. And they were doing it. Even when they had done 50, there were 20 more boys and girls. Beautiful boys, girls, all of them. 70. The blood was coming out. That's thank you. Oh, yes. When you see something in the Bible, never think it doesn't apply to you. Yes. Never think it doesn't apply to you. Always apply it to yourself. How can I say thanks? Is that how I will say thanks? May it never be associated with you anything saying thanks in a funny way. Yes. 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 May it never be associated with you. Yes. That there may be no reason for a curse to fall upon you in your lifetime. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? Father, thank you for the blessing of your holy written word. How can I say thanks for all the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love. May we never reward anyone in our lives who has fought for us, or has adventured his life, or has done anything for us. May we never reward anyone in such a category with evil. For our sakes, Lord, and even our own children's sakes, we thank you that everyone who is under the sound of my voice receives a spirit of gratefulness and goodness. Lord, I know there are so many curses roaming around. The curse of Jotham is the curse upon those that return evil for good. Lord, let us be free from such curses, all of us, from myself to every last one listening. May there never be a day or a reason for which we will return good with evil. Yes. I pray for this, and I thank you for hearing my prayer, for blessing everyone here, saving us from evil. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you want to give your life to Jesus, this is the moment. Say it with me, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart and I receive Jesus as my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord. Make me a new person. I belong to you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for all you have done for me. In Jesus' name I pray, dear Lord. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father, for touching many lives today. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, put your hand on your heart and pray. Whatever mistake you are making, whatever you've done, Narankota ramigo la mara bazuberigo le bajamabura. De marado remada la modizo medegudi glabrado le meshe le mandele. To return evil for good. Let that mistake be neutralized today by the blood of the Lamb. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from this mistake and this error. In Jesus' name. Be free from the curse of Jotham and be loose from the curse of Jotham. Be delivered. I pray for you. I pray for myself and I pray for us all. Thank you, Father, for healing and delivering us. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.